Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch. I'm Dr. David Adams, and this week we'll look at the Old Testament lesson from Jeremiah chapter 26, verses 8 to 15. To set the context, Jeremiah had just been speaking to the people and prophesied God's judgment. And what we have is the aftermath of that encounter, starting with verse 8. Wahi kakaloth Yirmiyahu. Haya plus an infinitive construct, PL in this case, with a kaf or baith on the front, always serves to set the temporal context for what's going to follow. So we might translate it literally, and it came to pass as Jeremiah was finishing, or just more simply, when Jeremiah finished. A kala to finish. Here, third hey. So when Jeremiah finished, Ludaber eth kol asher tzua Yahweh, when Jeremiah finished speaking, Ludaber, infinitive construct with a lamed, all which Yahweh had commanded him, you have to insert the word him, Ludaber el kol al hayam, all that Yahweh had commanded him to speak to all the people. Wayith pesu otho. This word's tricky to parse. You look at it and you think it must be a hithpael because it starts off looking like a hithpael, but there's no short vowel under the pay. What we have here is simply a call, while consecutive imperfect, from a verb that begins with a tau. Aren't very many of those in Hebrew. This is from the verb tafas, which means to grab hold of something or to seize it. So all the people, they seized him or grabbed hold of him. Namely, HaKohanim, HaNavim, Kol Ha'am, the priests and the prophets and all the people. Lemor, saying, Moth Tamuth, infinitive absolute, call infinitive absolute from the hollow verb Muth plus infinitive, imperfect second person from the same verb. You must surely die. They're going to insist upon death for what he has dared to say in opposition to the temple and the city of Jerusalem. But they go on then. Verse 9 continues their speech, the speech of the people. Madue nivetha b'shem Yahweh lemor. Why? Madua, interrogative particle. Here, nivetha is a nifal perfect, second singular from nava, to prophesy. This word nava is almost always used in the Nifal. Not quite always, but most commonly in the Nifal. It's the standard pattern for this verb. Well, why have you prophesied b'shem Yahweh, in the name of Yahweh, saying, Kishilo yehyeh habayit hazeh v'ha'ir hazoth techerav me'ein yoshev. A little bit long there. Why have you prophesied like Shiloh, Ki Shiloh will be this house? In other words, this house will be like Shiloh. And if you remember the history of the biblical record in the Old Testament, Shiloh was the place where the first cultic site was set up for the Israelites after the conquest. And Shiloh's a little town until Seilun today, about halfway between Bethel and Shechem, right in the middle of the hill country north of Jerusalem. So it was centrally located between two important sites, Bethel and Shechem, and it served for quite some time, for two generations at least, and really down to David's time, as the main worship center for Israel. But after the loss of the Ark of the Covenant to the Philistines, the Ark was never returned there. It was kept just in another little town just outside of Jerusalem, Kiryat Yarim, and didn't return to Shiloh. And Shiloh began to lose its importance and was eventually abandoned. By Jeremiah's time, it was almost certainly the town was destroyed completely, probably with the Assyrian invasions in 721 that, you know, where the northern kingdom was taken into exile as well. So by Jeremiah's time, Shiloh, which had once been a very important town in Israel, was now pretty much destroyed and abandoned. So Jeremiah was saying that this house, the temple that is, will be like Shiloh. Wahair hazoth teherav. And this city, will be a teharav from the root charav, to dry up. Often simply means to be desolate, you know, to be ruined, like a plant that's dried up. This city would be dried up or will be become desolate. Me'ain yoshev, without an inhabitant. Me'ain, mem plus the particle ain, from being not yoshev, participle, anyone living there. So without an inhabitant. Vayikahel kol ha'am el Yirmiyahu b'beit Yahweh. And vayikahel, they gathered themselves. Here the niphal from kahal. Kahal means to assemble. In the call, it's transitive, like you assemble the parts of something. Here in the niphal, it's used like a middle or intransitive. The people assembled. They gathered themselves. So all the people assembled. El Yirmiyahu. Now, the inclination here would be to translate to Jeremiah. But Jeremiah, like Ezekiel, tends to use El instead of Al. And we'll see this actually a number of times in this reading. It's pretty much a standard practice for Jeremiah, too. He doesn't use it always. He uses Al with compounds a lot. But Jeremiah frequently uses El where we would expect Al. And so they gathered El Yirmiyahu around Jeremiah, Bebeth Yahweh, in the house of Yahweh. Well, Yishma'u Sarei Yehuda et Deraim Ha'ele, and the Sarei, the princes of Judah. This word Sar, we usually think prince, although this word doesn't necessarily mean a prince in the sense of a son of a king. It's really used for any official, particularly government official. And so most modern English translations will just translate this with the word official, and that's right. That's the right idea here as well. So the officials of Judah heard these words, Eth Devarim Ha'eli, Vaya'alu Mibeth Hamelech, and they went up from the house of the king, from the complex, you know, the palace complex, we would say, Beth Yahweh. Here there's no preposition, but this phrase, house of Yahweh, is used adverbially. They went up from the temple complex to the, from the palace complex, the house of the king, to the temple, the house of Yahweh. Waye shavu bapethach sha'ar Yahweh hechadash. And yeshavu, they sat down. They sat down in the pethach, in the opening or the doorway. Now, what's going on here? Remember that in the doorway of the gate area is typically where judicial proceedings are carried out in the ancient world. So the officials have gone out and they've gone to the temple area and they're sitting down. This isn't just sort of casually sitting down and resting. This is a formal judicial hearing now. That's the point that's being made here. So they took their seats. They sat down. Court got underway, in effect, is what's going on here. So they sat down. This last phrase is a little bit problematic. All the people and the officials sat down. In the doorway, Sha'ar Yahweh Hechadash, literally in the opening of the gate of Yahweh, the new one, the new gate of the Lord, might be how we would translate it. And that presents some problems in the sense that it's a very unusual phrase, and knowing exactly what's meant is difficult. There's a textual variant here that probably resolves the problem for us. The textual note says that we should insert with many Hebrew manuscripts, with the Septuagint Codex Marshallianus, with some minuscule manuscripts of the Septuagint, the Arabic translation, the Syriac translation, the Targums, and the Vulgate. All have the gate of the house of the Lord, inserting the word Beth there. That would be the Hebrew equivalent anyway. And that seems to be the correct idea. They went to the temple complex, and they're now convening a hearing, an official hearing, in the entryway to the temple complex. So that seems to fit. I think it's the right thing to do here. So they sat down in the entryway of the gate, of the new gate, that would be the name of the entryway, of the house of the Lord. Verse 11. Vayomru hakohanim v'hanivim el hasarim. The priests and the prophets said to the sarim, the officials, el kal ha'am, and to all the people, lemor, mishpat maweth la'ish, a judgment of death to this man. In other words, they're calling for the death penalty in this judicial proceeding. You know, there must be a judgment of death upon this man. Ki niva el ha'ir hazoth, because, ki introducing explanatory clause, he prophesied, niva, nifal, perfect, el ha'ir hazoth. And here's a good example of Jeremiah's using el, where most Hebrew would use al. He didn't prophesy to the city, he prophesied about the city, or perhaps even against the city. But I think about is good enough for us. He prophesied about this city, ka'asher shematim ba'oznekim, just as you heard in with your own ears. In effect, ba'oznekim, in your hearing or in your ears. Verse 12, Jeremiah responds to the accusation that's been leveled against him. Vayomer Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah said, El kal hasarim, el kal ha'am. And here Jeremiah is responding in the same way to the officials who are his judges and to the people who are his audience, in this case, Lemor. Yahweh shalakani lehanbeth el habith hazeh. Yahweh sent me from shalak with a object suffix on the end. Lehanabe, to prophesy, nifal, infinitive construct from Nabab, el habayth hazeh, again, about this house or against this house. Wa el hayir hazov, and about or against this city. Efkal hadavarim asher shematim, all the words which you have heard. So he's saying his defense is not that he didn't say the things that he was accused of saying, but that he said the things that God told him to say. Wa'ata, Jeremiah says. And now, this word, of course, means now, but here, as so often, it's used in a more rhetorical sense of introducing the point or the conclusion. So we might translate this in English not as now, but as something like so or therefore. Because he's established the fact that God has sent him now. What's the significance of that fact? That's introduced by Atah. Hitivu davar kekem, or ma'alekem. Here, this hifil from Yatav, to be good in the call, the hifil to do good or to make good. So, make your ways good, davar kekem. Ma'alekim, and your deeds. So make your ways and your deeds good. Vayshemu b'kol Yahweh, and obey. Here, shama, here in the sense of obey. B'kol Yahweh, the voice of Yahweh, Elohekim, your God. Here, the baith on the front of kol marks the object of shama, to hear. I don't know why we don't teach this in first year Hebrew. Baith is regularly used to mark the direct object of certain classes of verbs, and it's so common that we really should just teach it in first year Hebrew. It's nothing unusual at all. So obey the voice of Yahweh your God. Vayinachem Yahweh el hara'ah. Then, here probably this while conjunctive introducing a result clause. Then Yahweh will nacham, he will have compassion. Sometimes this verb means to change his mind, relent or repent. El ha-ra'ah, again, el instead of al, concerning the ra'ah, the evil. Evil is probably not the right word here, probably simply harm. Now, this is referring to God's judgment that God had promised. So perhaps, then he will change his mind about the harm, Esher Deber Alekim, which he spoke against you. Notice, not which I spoke, but which he spoke. Jeremiah's defense is he's merely repeating what God has said here. So the third person choice of, you know, which God spoke against you. He's saying, in effect, you know, don't kill the messenger. You know, God, I'm just the messenger. God's the one who's speaking against you. Now, verse 14. Well, nihini bayad kim. And as for me, look, I'm in your hands. Right? He said, here I am in your hands. Hinini, behold me in your hand. Asuli katov wakayashar ba'enekim. Here, asu, the imperative from the verb asa, to make or do. Do with respect to me, katov, that which is according to good, and that which is according to yashar, right, ba'enekim, in your eyes. So, do what looks good and what's right in your eyes. Ak! And this is the important one. Ak is an emphatic particle that introduces disjunction. Usually you translate something like, however, you know, do whatever seems good to you. However, yadote de'u, know for sure, here infinitive absolute, call infinitive absolute from yada, plus a call indicative. You should know for sure. Ki im that, ki that, plus im, here introducing a conditional sentence. If mimatim atim othi, hifil from hifil participle from muth, if you are putting me to death, ki danaki atim notanein elekim. If you're putting me to death, damnaki, innocent blood, atem no tenim, you are putting alekim on yourself. In other words, if you put me to death, then you're taking, you know, the life of an innocent man upon yourself. Wa'el ha'ir hazoth, and to this city, and upon this city, wa'el yosheveha, and upon its inhabitants. Ki ba'emeth shalakani Yahweh aleichem. Because truly, ba'emeth here, ba'eth used with emeth, marking adverbial use, ba'emeth, truly shalakani, he sent me Yahweh. Truly Yahweh, he sent me aleichem, against you or about you. L'daber ba'oznekim et kol hedavarim ha'ele. To speak in your hearing all these words. So Jeremiah's defense here, and it goes on, and of course, finally, they rule in Jeremiah's favor, remembering the precedent in verse 18 that the prophet Micah had prophesied against the city during the time of King Hezekiah. So on the they recall the legal precedent here. We have a precedent of somebody prophesying against the city and didn't get the death penalty. So they ruled in Jeremiah's favor and didn't put him to death there. So we have this judicial proceeding, which then, you know, continues here. But Jeremiah's defense is that it's not he who's spoken, but God who's spoken, and he's just the messenger. His defense is that's what a prophet does. You know, Yahweh sent me to speak all these words to you. Just to wrap up, if we, in terms of preaching this text, one thing that probably strikes most people when they read this is Jeremiah's faithfulness and his confidence in God, and rightly so. Jeremiah's spoken boldly against the false confidence of the people. And now he's, you know, about to be persecuted, perhaps even put to death for his faithfulness. But the really important thing here is not Jeremiah's faithfulness, but the fact that because he trusts in God, Jeremiah is confident of God's faithfulness. Not that God would keep him from being put to death. Jeremiah never makes that claim. He's willing to accept that being faithful to Yahweh might mean suffering persecution, even suffering death for the sake of the faith. But his confidence lies in the fact that God will keep his promises and do what he has said to do, that he would do. And so he's willing to accept the consequences of speaking God's word faithfully and boldly, even if that means punishment and death. not because he's such a strong believer, but because God speaks such a strong word. And in the same way, our hope, when we read this text and other texts, lies not in the strength of our faith, but in the strength of God's promise. And, you know, the certainty that we can have that God will keep the promise. When he says to us, your sins are forgiven, we can depend upon that with absolute certainty, just as Jeremiah here is willing to depend with absolute certainty on the word that God had spoken to him. And that confidence based on God's faithfulness is where our hope lies in this text. Well, thank you very much for joining me this week for our look at Jeremiah chapter 26, verses 8 to 15 in this week's lectionary at lunch. I'm Dr. David Adams, and look forward to being with you again soon. Not until I answer the phone, though.
Is there something doing the New Testament?
Well, close, supposed to be. Yeah, it's just 12:05.